Thank you for being with us again today at the CGMAP Prayer Line. And I want to continue in the book of Genesis. I've been enjoying it so much in my personal devotions. And I am now in the book of Genesis, chapter 48. And we're going to talk about blessings and birthrights. Blessings and birthrights. And I want to give you a definition, if you don't mind, to begin with, as we're going to be talking about the birthright and the blessing that was given to Joseph's kids by his father, Israel. But Genesis gives considerable attention to families and family life. Time and again, the storyline twists and turns around the actions of fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, uncles and nephews, brothers and sisters, for better or worse, richer or poor, whatever it might be. This is not extraordinary in itself, but a distinct pattern emerges in the book of Genesis that for the most part runs counter to the social and domestic customs of the biblical world it's in. Several times we read in Genesis that God bypasses a firstborn son and blesses one of his younger siblings instead. This was highly irregular in any ancient or tribal society, where firstborn sons were entitled by the position in the birth order to numerous family privileges, and they weren't shared with the other siblings. The firstborn, for example, was destined to receive a special blessing from his father and to inherit the largest share of the father's estate. He was seen as a father figure to his brothers because he stood in line to be the next leader, protector, and or teacher of the family. The firstborn sons in the patriarchal age also succeeded their fathers in assuming priestly responsibilities in family life. In all essential respects, the eldest son, who became the patriarch, was the social and spiritual mainstay of the kinship group gathered around them. Only three firstborn sons in Genesis show themselves worthy of such blessings. Three. Noah in Genesis 5, 28-30, 6 and 9. Shem in Genesis 6, 10, 9 and 26. And Abraham in 11, 27 and 12, 1-3. Every other identifiable firstborn is passed over and loses his preeminent position to a younger brother. Often the eldest sons in Genesis are prideful and unworthy of the honors that await them. In effect, they disqualify themselves from their natural birthright. Other times, the question of guilt or culpability goes unmentioned, and God simply elects the younger son over the older to carry his plans forward. Whatever the case, God's preference for the younger and weaker brother over the older and stronger is pronounced and forms a significant subplot throughout the book of Genesis. Abel is favored over Cain, Genesis 4, 1 through 7. Isaac is favored over Ishmael, the firstborn, Abraham, Genesis 17, 18 through 21, and 21, 18 through 14, or 8 through 14. Jacob is favored over Esau, the firstborn of Isaac, Genesis 25, 19 through 34, chapter 27, 1 through 45. Perez is favored over Zerah, the firstborn of Judah by Tamar, in Genesis 28, 24 through 30. Joseph is favored over Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, Genesis 35, 22 through 1 Chronicles 5:1, or mentioned in 1 Chronicles 5:1. Ephraim is favored over Manasseh, the firstborn of Joseph, in Genesis 48, 1 through 20. And we're going to read about that here this morning, about the blessing and birthright that was given to Ephraim rather than Manasseh. Look at verse 7 of chapter 48, if you will. When I came back from Padanaram, Rachel died to my sorrow on the road in the land of Canaan. This is Israel talking. With some distance yet to go to Ephrathah. So I buried her there near the road of Ephrathah, which is Bethlehem. When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, "Who are these?" Joseph told his father, "They're my sons, whom God gave me here." Israel said, "Bring them to me, and I will bless them." It was traditional, blessing and birthright. Verse 10, because Israel's eyesight had failed from old age and he wasn't able to see, Joseph brought them close to him, and he kissed and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, "I didn't expect I'd see your face, but now God has shown me your children too." Then Joseph took them from Israel's knees, and he bowed low with his face to the ground. Joseph took both of them, Ephraim in his right hand and Israel's left hand, Manasseh in his left hand and at Israel's right hand, and brought them close to him. But Israel put out his right hand and placed it on the head of Ephraim, the younger one, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, crossing his hands because Manasseh was the oldest son. He blessed them and said, "May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, may the God who was shepherd from the beginning until this day, may the divine messenger who protected me from all harm bless the young men. Through them may my name be kept alive and the names of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. May they grow up into a great multitude throughout the land." When Joseph saw that his father had placed his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was upset and grabbed his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to his father, "No, my father, this is the oldest son. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son. I know. He'll become a people too, and he'll also be great. But his younger brother will be greater than he will, and his descendants will become many nations." Israel blessed them that day, saying, "Through you, Israel will pronounce blessings, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh." So Israel put Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, "I'm about to die. God will be with you and return you to the land of your fathers. I'm giving you one portion more than to your brothers, a portion that I took from the Amorites with my sword and my bow." Now Joseph had to have understood what was going on here, in a sense, even though he wanted the blessing upon his older son because it was the ancestral right. He recognized what his father had done because he was a younger brother. And he became blessed and greatly used of God. He was the dreamer who spoke about what God was going to do and his brothers one day would serve him. He really did understand. But he was kind of towing the party line in the beginning, saying, "Dad, hey, put your hand on Manasseh." But God had other plans. And through Israel, wisdom was seen. God looks at the hearts and the minds and the lifestyles of each and every one of us. And he recognizes the direction we might go because of the choices we are making, because of the lifestyles we're living, because of our heart and what has happened. The conditioning of life has a lot to do with things. However, sometimes it's just the simple mindset that we have. It's important to remember the scripture does tell us to train a child in the way they ought to go, and they will walk in that pathway to the best of their ability. There is a training period, and there are things that you can do through teaching the Word of God and your lifestyle that can help that person to walk in godly fashion or in the blessings of Christ. However, not everything is set in stone. And as we see particularly here in the book of Genesis, blessing and birthright didn't always happen in the traditional sense, in the ancestral sense, or in what the world thought it should be. And it was a great blessing. It was tremendous to have the birthright. But yet, the most important thing is, even if you don't have that initial birthright, to have a blessing. And in the midst, to see your life through, to be a blessing to your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your cousin, your whoever it might be. Be a blessing in whatever regard. Yes, thank God for the birthright. I thank God that I'm Bill Vossen's son. I'm his oldest son. Doesn't mean I'm the most blessed or anything else. And yet my father blessed me so much in his life. However, the most important thing is to walk in the blessings of Christ, to remember the prayers that were made, the life that was given, that you might be that child of God that the Lord desired to see through. An investment was made. I once wrote an article on the inheritance or the heritage of faith. I gave it to the folks at, I believe it was EWTN many years ago, an article on the heritage of faith. And what my mom and dad did, and even though each one in our family seemed to go in different paths in their faith walk, a different church or etc., each one embodied a deep appreciation for God and the faith of the Lord. It was all carried out, their faith walk, in a different dimension, but with a holy and sanctified attitude considering the Lord. I want you to know today there's a heritage of faith that God has for you to take up. And whether the oldest or the youngest, whether it's birthright or blessing, the most important thing is to walk in the anointing of God and remember His peace that passes all understanding. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes you have seen that the first is not to be the one most blessed or have everything, quote, in the household. And we in our humanity so many times set aside to the oldest the best. But Lord, the most important thing is to look at the heart and the mind of man. And many times, whether it's Israel or whether it's someone else in the book of Genesis or in other books of the Word or in history, we see people that carry out their lives in such a way that it doesn't become ordinarily the oldest son or oldest daughter who receives all the blessings or the most from the household. And I pray, God, that in our hearts and lives, we recognize that each and every one of us should live a life that says, hey, I'm going to invest my best, show forth God's love, and I'm not going to look for a handout. I'm not going to look for just, okay, this is my birthright, this is my right, and have an attitude about it. But say, hey, I've got to eke out. I've got to take my hand, and I've got to take a step of faith, and I've got to build something with my life. And not think it's going to be handed to me, not think that, hey, I've just got something because it's mine, and I'm just going to live, drink, and be merry, and whatever happens, happens. Because, quote, I'm the oldest son or oldest daughter, or whatever it might be. But I want to be a child of God. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want the blessing. I want the right hand of anointing. I want the blessing of God upon me, that I might go forth in the power of God and might be used of the Lord. Lord, let there be a blessing for me. Let there be a touch upon me today, that I might help and bless others. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Whoever is going through struggles and trials today, difficulties, you know, seems like they're off course in life. God, help them to get back on course and let them walk in the power and the privilege of the Lord. And I pray your anointing and help secure them physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, in every way. Help them to be a blessing and to prosper and to see God's grace and to show forth the love of God, that people would be drawn unto the Lord. We thank you and we praise you for your love. God, touch our hearts and our attitudes. Help us with our family members. God, strengthen us in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. I know I've gone on for a little bit longer than usual here on the prayer line, but I pray that God has spoken some things into your heart about blessing and birthright. If you need to reach us at the ministry, please call us at 646-926-0401 or email us at cgmfinc@gmail.com. We're so glad that you're with us today. Till next time on the prayer line.